If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to a brand new season of the Eye on the Tigers podcast. We are back from our summer hiatus because Mizzou football begins fall camp this weekend. Players move in Sunday. Practice starts next week. Of course, all your coverage over at stltoday.com. I'm Post-Dispatch beat writer Eli Hoff, and I'm joined by the Council of Beat Writers today, bringing in Gerard Hamilton from Power Mizzou and Callum McAndrew from the Columbia Daily Tribune. We were talking this week that the three of us, we watch a whole lot of practices, we show up to a whole lot of things, and we have thoughts, so why not get together and discuss this a little bit before the season starts? We'll go to Gerard first. We got news earlier today of Eli Drinkwitz's contract extension, which kind of caps off the offseason. Are you ready for football to be back? How's the offseason treated you, Gerard?
You know, for me, the offseason, like, you guys can go to basketball and stuff, keep yourself occupied. Like, my off season or the preview season is like basically a week after the last game. And so I've been previewing for 6 or 7 months in a row. I'm kind of tired of previewing. Want to write about something that I guess is tangible, something that we can see or, you know, based off of that. So I'm ready to go.
And Callum, what about you? Yeah, you are like me that we have multiple sports to write about. We don't have to specialize on football. Are you ready or do you want a little more summer?
No, I'm ready. I think I've gotten to a little bit of lackadaisicalness here in the last few weeks. I was walking out of a gym class this morning when the contract dropped, so that was a stark reminder that things actually happen, and I'm kind of sick of the summer and just kind of lollygagging around. So yeah, let's get back to it. I'm like Gerard, I'm tired of previewing stuff.
Yeah, and talking season for me is never, like, I think people get excited for that as some sort of intermediary. That to me is just the off season getting worse, where we just yap about things that we're not seeing. Okay, so let's talk fall camp a little bit. It starts next week, and I guess first here for either of y'all, is there any story in fall camp bigger than the quarterback battle between Sam Horn and Bo Prabula? Does anything rise to a level where you think it's more interesting or more important to the 25 team?
Never. If you don't know who your quarterback is, that's it. So that's going to be the thing. I mean, I guess you could start talking about what's after that, really, which for me is just left tackle, which is depending on who you talk to. I don't know where you guys fall on this. Like, do you think left tackle is the second most important position, or would you go edge? I'm going to go left tackle because obviously it has something to do with the quarterback, but I understand why people say edge. You know, edge rushers and stuff like that is a big thing just generally.
Missouri specifically, I think I would go with the third most important battle this season is for that second corner spot. I don't think you can have consistent secondary play without having somebody that's at least consistent there, which Missouri did not have for much of last year. I mean, to answer the original question, no, it's Prabula and Horn is the headline story. This, I mean, left tackle, absolutely important, but it's Prabula versus Horn. It's the big one.
Yeah, that's I agree there, and I think I'd put left tackle second. You're right. Having edge in that conversation is interesting. I don't think I would, just because Mizzou's going to rotate there regardless. Like, there's going to be probably at least two guys at each edge spot. I like the corner shout from Callum there. I said in a radio hit a few weeks ago that I thought Toriano Pride was like, we were picking like the most important player, like not best, but most important players. And I had Toriano Pride really high up there just because Mizzou didn't get what it needed out of his spot. And of course, it could be Nick Deloach. It could be Stephen Hall, who's there. It might not necessarily be Pride, but getting something, some sort of value or production out of that position seems really, really important.
Yeah, I agree. Wait, let me clarify. I'm not saying on this particular team that edge, like, I'm just saying in football in general, I feel like people are quarterback, left tackle, or edge, or some mix, you know, with edge and left tackle for that second spot. Not here. Missouri clearly has that. Every time we talk to Drink, he's always blushing. As soon as you bring up edge, he just He gets this big old smile, like,
Yeah.
yeah, my front seven, my edge group. Boy, I love it. Like, he does it all the time. So I agree. As far as cornerback, I think it was telling at SEC Media Days, like when I asked about a cornerback, he says no one works harder than Stephen Hall. So I mean, from that and then him being a team captain at Washington State last year, we know that CB2 spot was a little shaky last year. So I'm just like Cal said, I'm looking at that cornerback spot, and they are too. He said Connor Tolleson pointed it out, like, what's the competition you guys are looking at? And Connor was just like, I'm looking at what's happening at cornerback, and Drake acknowledged that's the one position on defense that they kind of really got to figure out.
A long way away for him to be looking at that. He's getting the binoculars out, like us in the press box, to check out that corner spot.
We already know he was criticizing Kirby Moore's play calling in the spring, though. So
Mm-hmm.
evidently, he's been an observant fellow while on the shelf with the ACL. Okay, I want to dig into the quarterback battle first, and as a way to do that, I'm going to ask each of you guys. We'll go to Callum first for like the percentage breakdown between Horn and Pribula right now of like what percentage chance you think going into camp, Bo Pribula has and Sam Horn has of winning the job. I'll go first to give you guys a chance to think.
Thank
For
you.
me, I think, yeah, I think right now, again, this is the Thursday before camp starts. This might change once we talk to people and maybe even see a little bit. Like, I think it's 60-40 in Prabila's favor, where, and that's come down from where I was in the spring. I think if
Yeah.
we'd said this in the spring, I would have been 70-30, maybe even 75-25. Like, I really thought it was Bo Prabila. I still think it's going to be Bo Prabila, but I feel like, and y'all can push back here, I feel like I've just heard more positive things about Sam Horn, that this isn't just competition for the sake of it, that he's a legit contender. But we'll go to Callum first and then Gerard on your breakdown there.
Yeah, no, I think that's as little as 2 weeks ago. I think I might have been up at 75-25, 80-20 in Bo Prabula's favor. But it just, the Sam Horn chatter doesn't feel like bluster. You know, it doesn't feel like they're trying to manufacture a competition here to, I don't know, keep opponents on their toes, to keep some general intrigue, to keep the two of them in competition. It does actually seem like this is going to be a legitimate two-horse race. And I think I would fall down in about that 60-40 range as well. For Pabula, I think he just gives Missouri a little bit more of what Kirby Moore's looking for. I think he gives you that natural bridge from Brady Cook, being able to trust his legs, being able to use him as a dual threat in that facet. I think he gives you a little bit more on that front. And if he's even an acceptable passer, if he can run an offense for 4 quarters at an SEC level to an acceptable level, I think that danger weighs legs does give you a little bit of a, no pun intended, leg up there.
Gerard, where do you fall?
I say 60-40 is about right. I probably in my head 55-45, but around the same range as you guys as far as Bo. I think, yeah, earlier in the spring, just because, NIL and all that stuff and how that works, we don't know the exact number, but paying a quarterback, you've got to, if you're paying him, there's a reason for that. That's
Right.
kind of your guy. That's kind of what you're thinking of. But yeah, so much about Sam Horn and his recovery from Tommy John and what he's done since what the bowl practices at the Music City Bowl and stuff like that, and how he's gotten into the groove and stuff like them sharing, some snaps with the ones in spring ball. I definitely can see. I put it like this, and I'm sure you guys would agree based off your percentages. If Sam Horn won the job, it wouldn't be a shock, really. Like, it's, I mean, it may be a surprise because of the money aspect as far as what they're paying Bo or what we are assuming they're paying Bo. But I think just from like a play level, you wouldn't be like, what, this is coming out of left field or whatever. I mean, and I'm sure there's a lot of people, and maybe even in Drink's mind, maybe like this is a four-star guy he recruited a few years ago. He's always kind of wanted to see what that looks like, given the chance to be that guy. So right now I'm at 55-45 Bo. I still think he wins out, but it wouldn't surprise me if Sam pulls it out.
No, not at all. And I think to continue your baseball metaphor, Gerard, it'd be coming out of the bullpen, not out of left field if Sam Horn wins this. I think that's what we gotta say. But I like the NIL point is a good one. And yeah, we don't know the figures. And part of why I tend to be more on the Prabula camp, even skill set aside, because I agree with Callum that I think Bo fits what this offense wants to be, or at least what it was under Brady Cook.
Right.
But if Bo Prabula was content to be a backup quarterback, he would have stayed at Penn State, where he would have backed up Drew Aller and been on a CFP contender, like national title contender team, right? He came to Missouri to play, but at the same time, if Sam Horton didn't think he'd have a chance, then he probably would have gone the baseball route and maybe made a little bit less money. I mean, we don't know what he's going to make this season, but he could have got on with his baseball career and stopped this football business. So it really does feel like both of them think they have a genuine shot. So maybe the better question here, and I'll go to Gerard and then Callum on this. Does this get resolved before the opener? Do we get Eli Drinkwitz naming a starter during fall camp, or is this going to be like 2023 where it's Bo Probilla gets the first half, Sam Horn gets the first or gets the second half against Central Arkansas in that opener? Gerard, what's your gut feel on the not the who but the when of the quarterback battle?
I'd like to say that he'd get it done before the season opener just to have everybody on one accord, but if he really thinks it's this close, and because it's Central Arkansas, I mean, no disrespect to Central Arkansas, but everybody kind of knows what this is. I can definitely see him doing the, we're going to split reps thing for the first half if it's close enough. But if it were me, I'd probably try to get it done before the season, just so we can all focus our attention on the task at hand, which is winning games, instead of trying to, trickle this along until the first week or whatever. Because then you get into another situation. What if they play? They're both probably going to play pretty well, you would assume, versus a Central Arkansas. So do you want to keep this going until probably the biggest home game of the season, which happens to be
Yeah.
week two? I wouldn't. So I'd try to get this done before fall camp ends, at least.
Yeah, the situation is entirely different this year than it was in 2023 when Brady Cook and Sam Horton split reps ish in that game against South Dakota. They had Middle Tennessee the next week. Middle Tennessee, fine program. They weren't gonna really give them, they actually kind of did give them a little bit of trouble in that game, but weren't really gonna come into Columbia and threaten. It's, I mean, you guys over at Paramazoo did that poll yesterday. 47% of people would rather beat Kansas than win 11 games among the Missouri fan base. I mean, that is such an important game, and I don't know if you have a split situation going into your opener with that 10 days away. I don't know if you then run into that as your first game with a guy who's about to play his first college football game start to finish. I don't know if you can. I don't find that a wise decision.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So here, I generally agree, but I'm going to push back for the sake of the podcast here. Okay, so let's say a starter is named. Let's say like at the end of fall camp, Drinkwitz says, frankly, either way, Probilla or Horn, right? Here's who my QB1 is going into that week of prep against Central Arkansas. In all reality, if there's a clear starter in that game, that starter's not going to play the entire game. Like even last year, I'm pretty sure we saw a good amount of Drew Pine against Murray State. I think maybe I'm
Yeah.
wrong, but I think we like the
At
backup will
least a
probably
quarter.
play. Yeah, because that game should, if that game's not over by halftime, something's gone wrong, right? So like either way, whether the quarterback battle's going or not, both quarterbacks are probably going to play in that game. What if said backup quarterback comes in and looks good? If it's Sam or Sam Horn throws some pretty passes, what if Bo Probilla's legs work? Like, does that lead to uncertainty then going into the KU game? I'm not sure that really matters. Like, Drinkwitz can stick with his quarterback either way. He's shown that. I just wonder if that could come into play.
I think if you, it depends how you're going into that game. So if you're going in saying we're going to split the reps half and half, then yeah, to our point, yeah, you'd be going into the Kansas game, depending on how each quarterback plays, uncertain or keeping your quarterback competition going. I don't know. You would have problems. But if you're going in saying like Bo is my starter and then Sam Horn happens to get in the game early because it's just that much of a blowout or whatever. Even if Sam performs well, I would be thinking, well, one, Sam got in the game because Bo probably did well enough to have them have this big lead. And two, the reason Bo was named the starter in this scenario, it could be Sam, however you want to switch it, It's because what he did in the previous few weeks there in fall camp. So that wouldn't make me want to switch up just because, you know, Sam looks good versus an FCS team. If this competition is as close as they've kind of built it up to be, you would still expect Sam or Bo, whoever's that backup, to perform well versus Central Arkansas.
Yeah, no offense to the Bears of Conway, but if you're coming in a blowout game and you look good and the starter's already been named, I don't think that the fan base may disagree, and those who want one quarterback over another may have something to say about that, but I don't think you make a switch if you've already named your starter at that point based off of relief reps.
Yeah, the issue there is you got to get the 47% who would rather beat Kansas than 11 wins and probably a bye in the CFP, but that's a separate discussion. Okay, let's change gears here. That's good on the quarterbacks. I think that sets a good baseline for this going in. Let's do offensive side of the ball first. A player you're excited to see during fall camp or excited to talk about, write about, maybe who's not getting enough buzz. We'll leave quarterbacks out for the sake of this. I'll go first again here on the offensive side of the ball. Like this year of Brett Norfleet, I think kind of has to be the year. Like it feels like, no pun intended, like he's been such a sleeping giant for this team that we've seen. Like every year, it's like we get like two to three plays of like, oh man, that's what Brett Norfleet could be if he was healthy and all in here. And I remember maybe it was 2 years ago, maybe it was last year, hearing Drinkwitz and Kirby Moore talk about trying to get a little bit more usage for the tight end. They're just the tight end role hasn't really been an offensive focal point because Norfleet hasn't been healthy. So he's the guy for me who, I guess, not just for fall camp, but for this whole season, I just want to see more out of and I'm excited for that. But we'll go, Callum, your offensive player you're most excited to see over the next few weeks.
I think I'm gonna take the layup here. Mad Hardy. I mean, in terms of sheer footballing talent, looks exactly like he'll fit the mold of what Missouri runs, has experience running the outside zone at ULM, can bounce tackles like nobody's business. Even in his off time, he seems really, really interesting, riding horses and taking teammates fishing. I think this is going to be a really, really cool story. I'm exceptionally high on what he could possibly bring to this offense. I hesitate to say Missouri's run game took a step back last year, but I don't think it was quite where it was under, I mean, Cody Schrader in the Tyler Beatty years. I think Ahmad Hardy, I really do genuinely believe Ahmad Hardy is a guy that could be averaging 100 or more yards a game for Missouri. I think he is that caliber of player.
Cal definitely took the layup. Ahmad Hardy
Yeah,
would have
that
been.
was, I didn't come on here to challenge myself.
My favorite up this offseason is like Marcus Carroll and Nate Noel combined for like maybe like 1,300 yards. Ahmad Hardy had like 1,000 yards after contact. Like that's pretty insane. So if Cal didn't take that, I was gonna take Ahmad Hardy, but since he took him, I will go Kevin Coleman. Just because, I mean, you got someone who's proven it in this league. He's on his fourth team in 4 years, but in all of his stops, he's proven to be kind of either a go-to or at least a safety blanket for his quarterbacks. And for whatever young quarterback is starting, you know, this year, they can have Kevin to go to. Obviously, there's just so many parallels with him and Luther Burden being from the St. Louis area, wearing number three. They're around the same height and weight and stuff like that. Playing the slot and all those things. And to me, there's no doubt that Luther was the best player on last year's team, most talented player, but first team all SEC. And then you look at Kevin Coleman, who had more receptions, more yards, and the same amount of touchdown receptions. He can fit and slot in right where they need him to do and kind of take this young receiving room for the most part and kind of be that go-to guy for, again, whatever young quarterback is starting.
Okay, so now let's do same thing, but on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to go first here and take what I guess I don't know if there is a layup on the defensive side of the ball. So I'll be curious what you say. I'm going to say Jalen Catalon, in part because he's the guy who I know some people thought there were snubs with the preseason All SEC voting, and he was the one who I thought like maybe Ahmad Hardy was the biggest snub, but I actually think it was Catalon because he's been real All-SEC before. Like he's actually gone out and done it. This isn't hype of, you know, he's coming over from UNLV, but he's done it in the SEC before. I keep coming back to hearing chatter during spring that he was, I want to put this like nicely, but like actively disrupting the quarterback competition by picking these guys off, like just making life difficult for Mizzou's quarterbacks during spring. He's undersized, like a lot smaller, shorter, I should say, than I thought he was going to be when I first saw him. But he has the nose for the ball. This is his like 29th year of college football. He's been around the block. He came here to produce and produce in the SEC. I just think this is going to be a really big year for him, and excited to see what that looks like. We'll invert the order here. Gerard, you get to go first with the defensive pick.
I'll go with I think was the fun. I'll go with Josiah Trotter, reigning Big 12 defensive freshman of the year. I think that's how they say it. 92 tackles. I think it's four tackles for loss. I'm gonna say he's got like an interception or something in there, or some couple of turnover or takeaways, basically. Just getting that downhill Mike linebacker. That's cool because Corey Flagg came on last year. He started off on the bench behind Chuck Hicks, and then he kind of really took over. And there was a big portion of the year where you could have said, if you said Corey Flagg was the best defender on the team, like that'd be valid. Now, Johnny Walker kind of ran away with it the last third of the season. He really got his sack numbers up and stuff like that. But Corey Flagg was really big for the team for most of the year. And so you get someone like Trotter, to come in and fill that spot, helping the run game, because he's a run stopper. And in pass coverage, a little bit, to be desired, but they've got so many linebackers, they can move in guys in and out of the lineup. So just having him stop the run in the SEC, where it's all about in between the tackles and in the trenches and stuff, you can ha have that guy come downhill. I think that'll be big for Mizzou.
I am delighted. My number one's still on the board here. Or yeah, yeah, great. I'm getting a steal in the
Good
draft
value
here.
at
Yeah,
third
this is
overall. Yeah.
yeah.
See, this is an assist right here, Cal.
My one is defensive end Dyrus Smith. I'm really, really excited. I mean, at this point last year, he was more or less the dude. He was the guy the coaches loved. They were really, really enjoying what they had seen out of him in the offseason. There was a lot of excitement about what he could be for this Missouri team. I mean, an athletic freak, looking at his measurables, a guy that legitimately has Sunday potential. And then obviously goes down in fall camp last year with it was an ACL tear. I'm not making that up, right?
Yeah,
And
correct.
out for the year. Yeah. And getting him back, getting him in this edge rushing room that really could go five, maybe six players deep at some point, getting some fresh legs out there. A room that they think, like Gerard mentioned earlier on, that could be their most talented on the team. It's getting a guy like Dyrus Smith in there. I'm so excited to see what he brings and how he can maybe stand out in that room. I think he could potentially be one of the more talented players on this roster.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and it's telling. I think for folks listening, didn't see the reaction when you said defensive end. Gerard and I think both had people in our mind, and then you said Darius Smith. We were like, oh, that's not who we were thinking of. Like you could have said Zion Young, you could have said Damon Wilson. Like you could have even said you're excited for Javion Hilson, and like I wouldn't tell you you're wrong. It's just it's crazy the amount of depth there, and a defense too. Like at linebacker, Gerard could have said Khalil Jacobs coming back off the injury, or Tristan Newsome. I mean, there's so many guys to make a case for. This is going to be really compelling. Okay, one more before we go. We should talk about the Drinkwitz contract extension since that dropped right before we came on here. I guess for either of y'all, any particular thoughts on this? It adds a year to the back end, a little bit more salary to spend on assistants. No raise or buyout changes for Drinkwitz. Any burning thoughts on the contract extension before we go?
The only thing I really just think about is just like naturally recruiting, add that extra year so you can, if you want to tell recruits, I'm here for the next 4 years, you can, but no raises, no buyout, like you said. I don't know, really just continuity, lock your guy up even more, kind of help him out where he needs help at. And he's proven that, he's 21 and 5 the last couple of years. And to be competitive in the SEC, you got to give your guy what he needs. So if you feel like he needs more to spend this way, this way, this way, hey, I mean, why not do it?
think the big thing in there is that you don't get to the end of this year to a point where, oh, he only has 3 years left on his deal, and that's a little bit of a lower buyout. We're going to get to the end of this year, and he's still got 4 years, and his buyout's still going to be exceptionally high if a team wants to come in and try and poach him. I think that's probably the most important part of this. And like you said, just the optics of it as well are good. I think the salary pool was what was it, 2.2 million extra, I believe, to spend on assistance. So that's a nice little deal there as well, especially now that we've removed the limit for assistance, like that can be on field coaching. I think that's a pretty major detail in there as well.
And I think also just that, like, at face value, continued commitment. It's like they're just Mizzou and Eli Drinkwitz just keep renewing their vows, which is good because they're spending $250 million on the stadium in part because they have Eli Drinkwitz. So, like, just being able to put pen to paper on, like, we still like you, do you still like us? And everybody saying yes to that, I think is like good from a money standpoint for them. But yeah, we'll call that an episode for today. Big thanks to Gerard and Callum for stopping by. You can find Callum at the Columbia Daily Tribune. He's on the social media. You can follow him there. Callum, sorry, what's your Twitter handle? Go ahead and shout it out for
It's
folks
a
to
really
follow
good
you.
question. It is C underscore McAndrew 95. I guess Callum McAndrew wasn't available 15 years ago or whatever
Yeah, man.
it was.
It works and it's clearly so memorable that all of us Gerard is
Sure.
over at Gerard's over at Power Mizzou. And Gerard, what's your Twitter handle?
Gerard C. Hamilton. Nice and sweet.
Yeah, there
It's
you go.
easy. That's a great one.
Yeah,
That's
that makes life a lot easier. I'm guessing most of you follow Gerard and Callum already know who they are, but a big appreciation for them coming on the show. Of course, all three of us will have you covered during fall camp. We'll be out there Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and every other day. They let us out there sweating and asking questions because that's what we do. Thanks everybody for listening. Enjoy your weekend and the closing stages of the off season.